Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Okay, so today we're diving into The Juice again and, seeing what the kids are learning about today.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see what they've got going on over there.
Yeah, so first up, we've got a story about Eid al-Fitr.
Oh, yeah.
It explains that Eid al-Fitr marks the end of Ramadan, which is, the holiest month in the Islamic calendar.
Right, and people have been observing that with fasting and prayers since about March 1st, I think.
March 1st.
Yeah, so a little while now.
Yeah, and, something that's kind of interesting is that the start of Eid actually depends on when people see the new crescent moon.
Yeah, it does vary a bit depending on, where you are in the specific community.
Right. And so the piece actually mentioned that Sunni Muslim communities, they often follow what Saudi Arabia does. And so they were expecting to see the new moon on Friday night,
right,
which means that Eid would start on Saturday for them.
Gotcha.
But then you have Shiite communities, for example, in places like Iraq and Iran, and they might not celebrate until Sunday. And beyond just when the celebrations happen, the piece also talked about how important food is for Eid.
Oh, yeah.
Like it mentioned mamal, which are these date-filled cookies that are popular in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah, those sound good.
And then there's sheer kurma, this raisin and nut pudding that's enjoyed in India and Pakistan.
Okay.
And then get this, walnut-stuffed apples in syrup in Bosnia.
Wow, that's quite a range.
I know, right? So it's really interesting to see how, food plays such a big part in this celebration.
Yeah, it really shows how even within one event, there can be all these different ways to celebrate.
Exactly. And that could be a really good thing to talk about with the kids,
For sure.
How different cultures have their own unique traditions and foods.
Definitely.
Okay, so moving on from food and celebrations, we have a story about a signal leak investigation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is about some GOP lawmakers and a watchdog group who want investigations into how Trump administration war plans were leaked.
War plans.
Yeah, so apparently these plans were about a possible attack on Houthis in Yemen, and somehow they ended up getting leaked to The Atlantic.
Oh, wow. And through the Signal app.
Yeah, through Signal. The thing is, it wasn't just Democrats calling for these investigations.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even Republican heads of some pretty important Senate committees, like the Intelligence Committee, the Armed Services Committee, which is headed by Senator Wicker of Mississippi,
right,
and the Foreign Relations Committee, which is Senator Risch of Idaho.
Oh.
They all joined in wanting to get to the bottom of this.
Wow. So this is pretty serious.
Yeah. And it gets even more complicated because there's also a lawsuit that was filed by this group called American Oversight.
Okay.
And they're going after several former Trump administration officials.
Who?
Well, they mentioned people like Hegseth Gabbert, Ratcliffe Bessent, and Rubio.
Okay, so some big names there.
Yeah, and they're saying that these officials might have broken federal records laws by using Signal for government communications, especially because, Signal has that auto-delete timer feature.
Right, right.
And they were apparently using it for these really sensitive discussions about war planning.
Yeah, that does seem a bit careless.
Yeah, and there was this quote from Chioma Chukwu, who's with American Oversight.
Okay.
And she said, "War planning doesn't belong in emoji-laden disappearing group chats. It belongs in secure facilities designed to safeguard national interests."
Yeah, that's a good point. It raises a lot of questions about how we handle security and accountability with all this new technology.
Exactly. And how do we even define what official records are anymore in this digital age? I mean, that's something worth discussing with the kids.
Definitely. It's important for them to understand these implications, especially when it comes to things like government and national security.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to something a little less intense.
Okay, good.
This next story is about a doctor in West Baltimore and his patients who all came together to help him out in a really big way.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, so his name is Michael Zollicoffer, and he's been treating cancer, but he ran into some trouble with his Medicare coverage.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so his patients decided to start a fundraiser for him, and they ended up raising over $256,000.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know, right? And it really shows how much they appreciate him.
Yeah, he must be a really great doctor.
Yeah, from what the piece said, he sounds like he's incredibly dedicated to his patients.
Right.
Like, apparently he's available 24/7, and he sees patients whether or not they can pay.
Wow, that's pretty rare these days.
Yeah, and one of his patients, Ray Beverly, said, Dr. Z will not give up on you, so we damn sure ain't giving up on him.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and the guy who started the GoFundMe, his name is Michael Haney. He was a friend of Dr. Zollicoffer's.
Okay.
And he talked about how Dr. Zollicoffer has always been so focused on his community.
That's nice.
Yeah, so it's really heartwarming to see how everyone came together to support him.
It is.
And the good news is that Dr. Zollicoffer's prognosis is positive.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and he's actually planning to give any extra money from the fundraiser back to the community.
Wow, that's really something.
I know, right? It's a great example of how communities can rally around people in need and how kindness and generosity can really make a difference.
Yeah, definitely something worth talking about with the kids.
Absolutely. Okay, so moving on, we've got a quote of the day, and it's from Daniel Kahneman.
Oh, I know the name.
Yeah, he's a pretty big deal. He's a psychologist, and he actually won the Nobel Prize in economics.
Wow.
Yeah, he's known for his work in behavioral economics, and, you know, he's written some pretty influential books.
Like what?
Well, one of his most famous ones is called Thinking Fast and Slow.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and his quote for today is, your emotional state really has a lot to do with what you're thinking about and what you're paying attention to.
That's actually really profound.
Yeah, it really makes you think about how much control we have over our emotions just by choosing what we focus on.
Yeah, you know, we could even talk to the kids about that, how their thoughts and what they pay attention to can affect how they feel.
Exactly. It's all about being mindful.
Right.
Okay, so shifting gears a bit, the next story is about the wildfires in South Korea.
Oh, yeah. I heard about those.
Yeah, they've been really bad. They've already killed at least 24 people, and thousands of people have had to leave their homes.
That's awful.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of property damage, too, including this ancient Buddhist temple called Gunsa.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was built all the way back in the 7th century, and it had all these important cultural treasures.
That's so sad to lose something like that.
I know, and apparently these fires are the worst they've ever seen in South Korea.
Really?
Yeah, they've spread across like 68 square miles in 7 different counties.
Wow. And they said a lot of the victims were older people, right?
Yeah, a lot of elderly residents.
That's just heartbreaking.
It is, and they've been trying so hard to fight these fires. They've even had help from the U.S. military. But the damage is already done, you know? And the senior monk at Gunsa Dorian, he said that seeing the temple burn down made him think about how nothing lasts forever.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to imagine losing something that's been around for so long.
It is. It really makes you think about the power of nature and the fragility of human life.
For sure.
And it's also a good reminder to appreciate the cultural heritage we have.
Definitely.
Okay, so last but not least, we have a story about TikTok and ADHD.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So there was a study that looked into how reliable ADHD diagnoses are on TikTok.
Okay.
And it turns out that less than half of the claims in these popular ADHD videos were actually backed up by real diagnostic criteria.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, or they didn't mention credible treatment options. And what's even more surprising is that even people who already have an ADHD diagnosis had trouble figuring out which information was reliable and which wasn't.
So even if you know what you're looking for, it can still be hard to tell.
Exactly. And one of the researchers, Blandine French, made a really important point.
Okay, what's that?
She said that while social media can be a good place to find support, you should never use it to diagnose yourself.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Yeah. And she stressed that it's always best to get information from reliable sources and to talk to actual medical professionals.
Right.
And another interesting thing the study found was that students tend to overestimate how common ADHD is.
Mm.
And sometimes watching these videos actually made people with ADHD feel worse.
Oh, wow.
So it's really important to talk to kids about being critical of the health information they see online.
Absolutely. And to make sure they're getting advice from trusted sources.
Exactly.
Well, it sounds like there was a lot of varied content in the juice today.
Yeah, it covered a lot of different areas.
You know, from cultural celebrations to serious stuff like national security and health issues.
Yeah, it's a pretty broad range.
And hopefully this deep dive has given parents and educators a good overview of what their kids are learning.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, maybe it can even spark some conversations about these important topics.
Definitely. I think it's so important for us as adults to help young people make sense of all this information they're constantly bombarded with.
Especially in today's world.
Yeah. That's a lot for anyone to process, let alone kids.
So the question is, how do we help them develop the skills they need to navigate this complex and ever-changing information landscape?
Yeah, that's a tough one. But it's something we need to figure out.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's been great diving into the juice with you today.
Yeah, always interesting to see what they've got in there.
Definitely.
All right, well, until next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.